We're going to start with a Bible verse, our text for today. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all these people, this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Friends, many people have entered into the year 2023 with pessimism and worry, with fear. Why? Because they have read and watched the news about the predictions of 2023, and that made them afraid. I was looking on the Google, the predictions for 2023, and there are pages of them. And I chose a few. Some of the predictions for 2023 is this: inflation rates will be higher, unemployment will be higher, major stock markets will crash, an asteroid will hit the earth, there will be more extreme weather events, 2023 will be the hottest year on record, a natural disaster will hit a major city, there will be an attack on cybersecurity, physical and mental health concerns will be on the rise, and World War III is imminent. Friends, with all these predictions, and I'm sure you've got your own list, I can understand if you perhaps entering into 2023 with worry and pessimism. But God wants us to enter this year with an optimistic attitude, even though there are many challenges that we will have to face. You see, Moses died, and the Israelites had not yet reached the promised land. And therefore, God God appointed Joshua to be the leader that would lead the Israelites into the promised land. Do you think he was optimistic or pessimistic? Do you think he was perhaps worried and afraid? How could we tell? Well, on three occasions, in verse 6, 7, and 9, God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. Do you see that? God looked at him and saw what was happening in his heart as he faced the promised land, and he's thinking, I can't do this thing. This is too hard. I can't go into 2023 because of all these obstacles and threats and this, that, and the other. Well, listen, friends. God is telling you and I this morning, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and courageous. The question is, how could he be this? How could Joshua be this? The answer is not in self pep talk. Hey, come on, buddy. You can do it. Calm down already, huh? No, it's not through that. Nor is it through positive thinking, because positive thinking tends to ignore problems and rely on our strengths. Bible teaches us, friends, about realistic thinking, which tells us that sometimes life is hard, that sometimes bad things happen. Nevertheless, God is good. Yeah. Amen. God is good, friends. And he is in control of everything. We have a word for that. He is sovereign. And as we enter into 2023, there are some lessons that we learn from our passage, which contain 9 verses. The first lesson is that, listen, I mentioned it last year in a different context, last week. But the first lesson is this: the past is behind you. The past is behind you. Joshua and the people of Israel faced a huge paradigm shift. Now, a paradigm shift is a change in the pattern of doing things. It's just a change in a pattern of doing things. Why? In the past, these Israelites were nomads. They were walking 40 years in the desert. They were about to quit being nomads and becoming landowners. See the shift? They would soon leave their tents and move into permanent homes. They would quit eating manna and begin to enjoy harvested crops of all kinds. They would go from constantly being on defense to being on the offense. They would leave their slave days behind and the mentality of being a slave, and they will begin to enjoy the freedom in the land flowing with the milk and honey. Do you see that, friends? You see the shift that was going to happen to these people? You see, Moses was dead, but God was very much alive. Amen. God was very much alive. There was no time to stand around grieving and worrying and reminiscing about the good old days or when we times or times of regret and what ifs of the past 40 years. It was not a time to think about the past at all. It was time to move forward. It was time to move forward, friends. The saying on John Wesley's gravestone says, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. Eh? Listen, I don't make light of your struggle that you had last year or the years before. But I'm trying to show you the glory of God. Eh? The glory of God. To renew your vision in the glory of God. doesn't make those past problems and hard times less hard. But when you look at the glory of God, that changes things, friends. That really changes things. Maybe thoughts of the past are holding you back, causing you to trust less in God. We cannot allow our past and its failures and its problems and its issues and its setbacks and its hurt and its lack and its mistake to keep us from what God has called us to do. There's a story I told you many years ago, but you remember these stories, of a little boy, happy little boy, who went into the field wearing his baseball cap. In one hand, he carried a baseball, and in the other, a baseball bat. His face bore the look of tremendous confidence. Cocking his bat, he tossed the ball into the air, saying, "I am the greatest batter in the world." And he swung and missed. "Strike one," he said. He picked up the ball, examined it, and he threw it into the air again. And as he swung again, he repeated, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And once again, he missed. "Strike two," he said. This time, he stopped and examined his bat to make sure there was no hole in the bat. Then he picked up the ball, adjusted his cap, and tossed it into the air for the third time. He repeated, "I'm the greatest batter in the world," and swung with all his might and missed it the third straight time. "Wow," he said, "what a pitcher. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Now, today, friends, as we look back, I am not sure whether most of us would be considered to be pitchers or batters. But the one thing for sure, at times we have all struck out. Am I right? You say, "Not me." No, it is you. Maybe you took some wrong steps last year. Maybe you suffered some painful losses. Maybe someone let you down and you had a big disappointment. It's time, friends, to listen to Joshua's instruction. Listen, the past is dead. Now arise and go forward with confidence. With confidence, strength, and courage. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go." The Message paraphrase of this scripture says, "Moses, my servant, is dead, so get going." The past was good, maybe bad, but now it's time to move forward to something better. God wants us to be strong and courageous, friends, as we move forward in our faith in Him. But how can we be strong and courageous? The way for Joshua and for all of us to be strong and courageous is by believing in God. Believing God. It leads me to my second lesson that we can learn from our text. And the second lesson is this: the Lord is with us. Amen. The Lord is with us. Verse 5 and verse 9. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jump to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Strong and courageous is a tall order, friends, unless you really believe the last part of that verse. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua and Caleb, I want to talk a little bit about Caleb before the month is done. But Joshua and Caleb were two men who demonstrated their faith in that promise. Do you know that 40 years earlier, if you read Numbers chapter 13, that these two fellows were part of a group of 12 who went behind enemy lines to spy on the promised land. The other 10 came back terrified. Listen to their words, not up there. The land is full of giants. They whined. Compared to them, we look like tiny grasshoppers. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb came back and they showed strength and courage. You know what they said? Hey, let us get them. Let's get them. Period. Same breath. The Lord is with us. You see the difference, friends? But the minority report got swallowed up and lost in the gloom and doom of the naysayers. And friends, God wants you and I to be among those who say, let's go for it. The Lord is with us, and not among those who say it can't be done. If you look in Joshua chapter 2, the next chapter, you will see how ironic it was that the children of Israel doubted God's power. Once again, Joshua sends two spies to scout out the promised land. And while they were in Jericho, they hid in a home of a woman named Rahab. Look what she said to them. I know that the Lord has given this land to you. And that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came. What you did to Shion and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Hey, what happened to those 10 spies who were shaking and saying, ooh, there are giants there and we are like grasshoppers? What happened to these guys when all the time these people in the promised land, they were shivering in their boots because they knew God is with those people. If God could bring them out of Egypt on dry ground and he could do away with those two kings through you, we were shaking. But you know what, friends? Naysayers are champions when it comes to trying to put a stop to the move of God. You say, let's do this. Oh, but it can't be done. And yet what we want to do is directly from the heart of God. Friends, because of unbelief, The Israelites wasted 40 years. They wasted 40 years wandering in the wilderness, while all the time the Canaanites were trembling in fear. Even the heathens, even these people knew, hey, wait now, they knew the Lord. Hey? For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. These ungodly people were afraid of God. They knew the power of God. Friends, listen. When we look ahead into 2023, let's not go into a panic mode. Ooh, ooh, yes, this is going to happen. No! It's not time for that. It's time to look ahead and to see that God is with us in spite of the circumstances that are coming. Or we can say, hey, bring it on, man. Bring it on already. We're not going to go hide in the bush. There will be giants. Let me tell you. You see those predictions I gave you, 10 of them. There's going to be 100 times more than that. But listen, let me say, there will be giants, obstacles blocking our ways and challenge blocking our paths. We have people in our own church family who have health problems and relational problems and financial problems. Some of us face new challenges. Some of us are feeling God has called us to do something, but we're afraid to do it. Whatever the obstacle, friends, listen, that stand in our way, remember verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Wait now. Yeah, wait, I'm not done. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. Now get off the ceiling. Stop dancing on the ceiling. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Our inner strength doesn't come from our age. Isaiah. Did we read Isaiah? No. Let's look what Isaiah says. You got it there. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. He said, yes, yeah, listen, you say, I'm old now, Keith, old man, I don't have this thing. Listen, it's got nothing to do with age. Isaiah said, even the youth grow tired and weary of their problems they face. Joshua paid attention to what God told him. He strengthened himself knowing and believing that God would always be with him. Jesus also has promised us that he will always be with us in 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In Hebrews 13:5, God has says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Friends, we don't know what will happen to us in 2023. Our family, we don't know what will happen to our families and our jobs and our health and our church. We don't know. But faith means that even though we cannot see what will happen to us, we believe that God is in control. Amen? You think what's going to happen to you next month is going to, God's going to say, whoa, I didn't see that coming. You got me good. No, he's over that situation you're going to face next month. He's in control, friends. And will always be with us and take good care of us. He will help us even when we go through the valley of death. I'm just going to quickly do three verses. Candace is going to show you those verses. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Philippians 4:19. And my God, listen, and my God, who is with me always, who said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friends, our faith will enable us to defeat discouragement and empower us to live victorious in Christ Jesus. Our faith in his love and his power and his promises to supply our needs will be with us. And this new year, as we face it, we will have every reason to have hope and rejoice in him. Augustine, as I say, said, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Friends, faith in God will give us peace and courage, even in the midst of the most challenging situations. I was just reading and read about this fellow before. But I thought, man, what an awesome thing. Sir Wilfrid Grenfell. He was a medical missionary in Labrador. He found himself one day adrift on an ice floe, heading out to sea. And he died. When his body was found, there was a note that he wrote. Listen. There was nothing to fear. I had done all I could. The rest lay in God's hands. I know what Paul said. For me to live, Christ died. Amen. God wants us to obey his word. Listen, friends. God wants us to obey his word. In verse 7, God told Joshua, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right, to the right or to the left, and you may be successful wherever you go. God promised Joshua that he would be with him and that God would make him prosperous and successful. But did you get that? Joshua's full obedience to all the laws that Moses gave him. That's what God wanted him to do. Okay? The word of God. The word of God. We must also make God's word our guidance and the source of truth. If you want to be successful in this year, and for the rest of our lives. We got to follow God's word. We got to obey it even when we don't like it. We got to be careful in making decisions. We got to seek God's will seriously so our decisions are according to his plans. We got to be careful in making friends or socializing, because sometimes friends can take you away from God's way. God wants us to meditate on his word day and night. In verse 8, God told Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You know, back then, Joshua only had 5 books of Moses. Is it the Pentateuch? The Pentateuch. Moses had 5 books, and God told him to meditate on it day and night. Why? Because through it, Joshua could begin to understand God's will better. He will not be deceived by worldly philosophers or philosophies. Yeah. Sometimes I get tired. Sometimes, you know, we get deceived by the world's philosophies and opinions. And so Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 8, beware, lest any man ensnares you through philosophy and empty deception after the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not after Christ. Beware of those fellows. There are many kinds of worldviews today, friends, and some of them are against God's word. Therefore, we must study God's word seriously so that we can have a biblical worldview to guide us. It's Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One more quick lesson, friends, that we learn from our passage this morning, and is perhaps the best news yet. Listen, miracles will follow you. Amen. 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 Miracles will follow you. You know that during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Israel saw God's miracles every day. Oh, there's another miracle. There's another one. God guided them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God opened the waters of the Red Sea and brought the water rushing back when the Egyptians pursued them. Daily, they ate manna that God had provided. Was that a miracle? Daily, fresh manna. Daily. Don't keep from today. Tomorrow is new. That's a miracle. When they wanted more variety, God sent flocks of quail. When they were thirsty, God gave them water from a rock. For 40 years, their clothes and their shoes never wore out. Can you imagine? 40 years later, looking at you, and my shoes look like I bought them last week. That's a miracle. These miracles were God's way of showing them that they could trust him. That was under the leadership of Moses. They could see God's presence with their own eyes. But now who's the leader? Joshua. And the call to move forward changed. The guiding cloud and the pillar of fire were gone. There was no longer manna and quail and water from a rock. Now the call was this: you obey me and miracles will follow. You see that, friends? You obey me and miracles will follow. Look at the first battle Joshua fought. We all heard about it. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Was that a miracle? These archaeologists still trying to figure out, well, how did the wall fall down? Hey, it's a miracle. That's just a little bit of fun. We all try to be philosophical, right? We want to put academics everywhere. When God says, hey, I'm a supernatural God. Okay? I do miracles. That's my thing. God won the battle for them with an amazing miracle. And that miracle came after they obeyed. Well, what were the instructions? For 6 days, they must march silently around the city. Don't say a word, just march. Come on, go. 6 days. Well, it doesn't make sense. Hey, march. Then on the seventh day, march seven times. You tired already? No, listen. It's about obedience. Don't say a word. All this was an act of faith in obedience to God's command. And if you jump in your Bible, chapter 6, verse 20, it tells us that at the end of the seventh time, on the seventh day, the people obeyed the final instructions and the trumpets sounded and the people gave a shout and the walls came tumbling down and they took the city. Amen. Very important obedience, friends. God can certainly perform miracles anytime he wants. But more often than not, these miracles will come after we step out in faith. Don't wait and say, let's see if a miracle is going to happen, then I'll decide if I'm going to have faith in God. No, no. Faith and miracles will follow. Obedience and miracles will follow. Do what God says. When you see a need and you have the ability, get busy filling that need and miracles will follow you. That's how you show our faith, how we show our faith in God. And that is where God will bless us in supernatural ways, in miraculous ways. You know what the world says? The world says, show me and I will believe you. But God says, believe me and I will show you. These miracles will always follow when we step out in faith. Let me end. Let's do what Joshua was told to do. In 2023, let's move forward as a church in confidence. Amen. 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 Remember, our God wants us to get going. Why? The past is behind us already. Stop it. Stop living there. There will be giants on the way. We might feel like grasshoppers in comparison to our circumstances. But hey, God wants us to remember that he is with us. We have full confidence that if we move forward, if we fight the battle God calls us to do, to win, and if we meet the needs that he puts in front of us, miracles will follow after us. Why? Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Here's a passage I want to leave you with. Then Jesus came to them and said, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, you may say, I want to, Keith, but I'm feeling weak and no confidence. God is saying, I am with you. Don't panic. Don't worry. Acts 1 verse 8, last verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, every time we think about our new year and we take into account the predictions and the news reports and what's written in newspapers and on the internet, we confess, we get a little bit scared, especially when they talk about COVID and all that stuff. And so, Lord, we begin to march on the spot. We begin to look back longingly for the past, for the good old days. But this morning you said, we can quit that. It's okay. This morning you said that you will be with us always. And this morning you said when we put our faith and trust in you, when we obey your word, that you, Lord, will give us miraculous victories in everything that we will experience. So we pray that you bless our church and the families of our church and those who regard themselves as the friend of the church, for those of our children and grandchildren. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we go forward in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing one more song, friends, and then we will close in prayer.